This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
It's 1 Kings, chapter 20. And just going to read from verse 35. Unusual scripture here. Just to give you a bit of a background, it's the time of Israel and Ahab was king. And people really gone away from the Lord in this time. But this is something that happened. The king had been told that he was going to be given victory over an enemy that was attacking them. And he was told that he was to destroy them completely. And he actually didn't do that. He saved the king. He won the battle. God gave him the victory and he spared the king. And so this is what happened shortly afterwards. So 1 Kings chapter 20 and reading from verse 35. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbour, "By the word of the Lord, strike me please." And the man refused to strike him. And he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you." And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. Well, that's a shocker, isn't it? You ever get a prophet coming up to you telling you to strike him? Strike him good. That's the word of the Lord today, okay? Yeah. Man, I read that, and that's one of those passages where you think, oh, I'll put that one on the shelf. I'll put that one on the shelf. And God, I don't know why you put those things in there. They're shockers. Anyway, what happened after that? He found somebody else who did. Yeah, I wouldn't have hesitated. Found another guy, and he smashed him good. And so he had a bandage all over his head. And then this prophet went out on the side of the road when the king was driving by in his chariot and cries out to the king, "Oh, got to help me. Got to give judgment in my case. I was left in charge of all this material that I had to keep. And as I was walking away doing other stuff, somebody came and stole it all and blah, now give me justice." And the king said, "Well, you've got your own judgment. You know, you've judged yourself by your own mouth. You were put in charge of looking after that goods, and you went away from doing what the Lord told you to do. Your judgment's on your own head. What's come upon you has come upon you." So, then the king, after the king had said that, the prophet pulls off the bandage over his head, and the king recognized him as one of the prophets. And the prophet then said to him, "Because God gave into your charge this other king and told you to utterly destroy him, and you haven't done it, therefore he's going to be a thorn in your side, and you're going to lose your own kingdom." And so, but anyway, I just want to get back to that. Those two verses. A certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbour. Now listen, he said it by the word of the Lord. "Strike me, please." And the man refused to strike him. And he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you." And that's what happened. He spoke to this man by the word of the Lord. In other words, God had spoken to him directly. And he, because the man didn't strike him, he said, "You have not obeyed the voice of the Lord." And it's funny things like that get you thinking, what's going on there? Why put that? I just can't understand that. And I start to look out here that God wants us to obey his voice. And if you go with me to Exodus 19, I'll make sense of this in a minute. Exodus 19, God calls Israel, he delivers them from Egypt. Exodus 19, we'll start from verse 3. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now, because of all that God's done, he said, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice. He's not saying obey my commands, he's saying obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. God has commanded them to obey his voice. You know, there's a big difference between hearing a word and hearing his voice. There's a big difference. And we find out exactly what happened here. Because God said, I want you to be a people that know my voice. I want you to be a people. And so he arranged it so that the whole people were going to come before this mountain. And God descended on the mountain. Smoke covered the mountain, black darkness. And God descended on the mountain in fire. And all the people, the Bible says, heard God's voice. You know what they said to Moses? They said, we don't want to hear his voice anymore. It is too terrifying. You go, you draw near. You draw near to God. And whatever he says to you, we'll do it. In fact, what they said to him, whatever words he say to you, we will do them. And you know what God said, you know, he heard all this and his cry was, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would hear me and do what I say. He said, then their enemies wouldn't be able to stand before them. And so really what the people did, God's call was for them to be a people who knew his voice. There's a difference between that word, the voice, and just hearing his word. A voice is something that you can recognize. A voice is, you know, Danny, I've got your attention, haven't I? I know you and you know my voice. And so if I call Danny, you're going to respond to that just as you did. Or Ben. That the word voice there is a particular word. It means to cry out. And if you're calling out to somebody, you want them to recognize, you want them to know who's speaking to you because you want their attention. And what Israel did was, he's too scary. I don't think I want to know him. You go up, get the words and we'll do them. Well, we can't. We never could. There's not one good, no, not one. We've all, as Karen shared this morning, that's what we were, but in Christ we are a new creation. So there's a difference between the word. They said, bring the words to us and we'll fulfill them. The word, it's a Hebrew word, means a matter or a thing, a cause, a care, or a business, you know. And as I thought about this, I thought about times, and I'll use, you know, when Bev wants to talk to me, she wants my attention. And I go, what's the matter? You know what I'm really saying is, I'm busy here. I don't want to hear what you're saying. What's your problem? In fact, that's probably the worst thing to say. What's your problem? You know, I don't want to hear what you're saying to me at this time. I'm busy. I've got something more important. And she's got something important to tell me. So what's your problem? What's the matter? And that's what the people, just tell us the matter, tell us what your problem is, and we'll do it. We'll keep you satisfied. And God wants the people that know him, that know his voice, that recognize him when he calls. So you go back to that prophet who, by the word of the Lord, says to this other man, strike me. And he refuses to do it. And he says, you're going to get killed by a lion because you did not obey the voice. And Psalm 95 says, today, if we will hear what his commands, his voice. They did this, this is right back in 1979. They did an experiment with a group of 1-month-old infants. And they were tested while, they did the test suckling on their mother's milk under two conditions. One, while their mothers were speaking to them in a natural sort of way. And then they did it another way, same mother speaking to them. The mother spoke to them in an unnatural way, like a monotone, not with the infection of the voice. Is that the right? Yeah, you got that? And they found that the test babies that heard the mothers talking to them while they were suckling in a natural voice responded and drank more of the milk. Isn't that amazing? You know, what's it say in 1 Peter? As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. A voice is something that you can recognize. And that's what God, you know, and often we bring our Christianity and make it a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts, and it never was about that. It never was. It never was intended to be in the first place. When the people said, okay, just get, you know, what's your matter? What's your problem, God? Just give us the list of rules and we'll obey them and keep you happy. And we'll go about doing whatever we want to do anyway. That's what they were saying. But God's call, he said, I want you to be a special people who, to me, a treasure to me. I want through you to speak to this whole world that's in darkness, this whole world that is cut off from God. I want to through you, because that's what he's saying, he's going to make us a kingdom of priests. What's a priest? A priest is someone who stands between God and man. That's what he wants. He's always wanted that. Always. It's always been his plan to bring, because he so loved the whole world. He sent his only begotten son. When did he send Jesus? That's a good question. When did he send him? The Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Well, he's the Alpha and Omega. He was not, I'm saying that, so he was not an afterthought. He was the whole intention of God right from the very beginning. And so this promise in Exodus 19, I'll read it out. Therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. And it's never going to be enough if just one man speaks words, the matter. Because God wants everybody to have a relationship with him, to know his voice. Now, that's what I'm getting to. It's the voice of the Lord. Do you recognize it? Do you recognize it? You know, you can be away from somebody for a long time and you can forget their voice. Here's another amazing thing. I think it's king penguins. You know, have you seen those shows, nature shows, and these, when they're breeding, and there's thousands upon thousands of these penguins, and they hatch the eggs, and then the parents go out, catch fish, and come back, and it's just thousands and thousands of these baby penguins needing to be fed. And what they know is that the baby penguins know the voice of their mother or father, the king penguins. They hear their voice and respond to it. They did these tests. That out of thousands and thousands, when the one particular mother comes back and calls, her baby or the father, their baby chick will respond to their voice. And of course, that's how they and call out, and that's how they find them again after coming back from the fishing trip. Well, God wants us to know his voice. He wants us to know when he's calling so that we don't have to be like a horse or a mule. You've got to put a bit in its mouth. You've got to put reins, blinkers on its eyes to be able to turn it wherever you want to go or shield it from all the distractions. Boy, there's a lot of distractions today, isn't there? And then we can have all these rules and regulations trying to protect people from distractions, and it'll never work. I'm not saying they're bad, but it'll never really ultimately do it. In the end, what keeps somebody is who they know. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. That's what the whole of the covenant of God's all about. He said, I'll make a new covenant. And he said, they will all know me from the least to the greatest of them. They will all know me. And that's his promise, and that's what he's doing. And the Bible warns, Psalm 95 says that today, if we will hear his voice. And so I want to encourage today about your relationship with the Lord. You are the only one that can cultivate that recognition of the Lord's voice. Isn't that what Jesus said? My sheep, what they hear my voice. They will not follow a stranger's voice because they don't know them. Wow, that makes it so much simple, isn't it? You know, we talk about bringing up children, you know, bring them up to know the Lord. That's what we've got to do, to know, to have a relationship with him so that they recognize his voice. So we can trust God, you know, that if we direct them that way, that he will be able to keep them. We want them to know his voice, and that's what he wants with us. Go to Psalm 81. Okay. This is an amazing psalm, this one. It says, sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. And we've been doing that this morning. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, the full moon on our solemn feast days. But this is a statute for Israel. It's a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble and I delivered you. Praise you, Lord. That's what he did for me. He did for many of us. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. Ready for some admonishment? Hear, my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. So that worship is what we give our lives to. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now listen to this. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I just think about those little penguins hearing their mother or father's voice and their mouths are open. That happens with every bird. I've shared that before. You know, the mother bird comes near the nest. The baby birds, they recognize mum's wings and they're up there and their mouths are open. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But here's what he said. But my people would not heed my voice. They would not heed my voice. You can get as many commands as you like and try to fulfill them all. You come to church, you know, 7 days a week if you like and pray and do all those things. They're good, but it's not what God wants. He wants you to know his voice, to hear his voice, and to follow him. You know, it was Stuart Grimmens that said, you can boil the whole Christian life down and ask people two questions. First question is, What is the Lord saying to you now? Think about that. What can I ask you that? What is the Lord saying to you right now? First of all, that establishes whether you have a relationship with him. Because he's not a God who's silent. He's a God who's speaking to you. Elaine, he's probably telling you something totally different to me. And George, same again. William, all of us. Bev, he's telling you, love your husband. Cook him really... No. She does. She loves me and she does cook me really good meals. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have gone there. It gets me right off track. And the second question is, are you doing it? What is the Lord saying to you, and are you doing it? If you want, that'll sum up your whole walk with the Lord. That's what we've got to focus on. Are you hearing his voice? What is he telling you, and are you doing it? That's how you grow. Open wide your mouth, God says, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. Oh, they did all those, but they did all the, they built the tabernacle, they did all this, they did all that. God's just saying they would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. You hear the cry of God. Will you just talk with me? Have you ever had someone to, can you just please talk with me? What's one of the greatest things that you can do for any relationship, husband and wife? Talk to one another. Talk properly, nicely. Don't yell at one another. There are times for that. But talk to one another. Here's God. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. Is Jesus more than enough? You know, he wants to talk to you. He wants you to hear his voice. Because when you hear his voice, that's when faith comes. That's when you get a rhema. It's because he's talking. It's not you finding, oh, I've got to find some word here that'll fit my situation. Well, if you're not relating to the Lord, you might be finding the word is just fulfilling your own desire, doing whatever you want to do. Because he said they were stubborn. They just walked their own way, walked in their own counsel. But we're called what? To follow Jesus. We're called actually to take up our cross. What's that about? Deny yourself and follow him. You can't follow him unless you're taking up your cross. Oh, that my people would heed my voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. What does the word say? It says, harden not your heart. Because that's what it is, a relationship issue. And so can I encourage you, Dale? I'm just going to finish here. I might give you this in another way. But I want to finish with this, that God wants your relationship to be put first. There are two things that could destroy your relationship. One of them's fear. And isn't that one of the things that's coming on the world now more and more? Fear of failure, fear of not getting enough, fear of missing out, fear of, oh, you know, you won't get your needs met, fear of... So many fears are on the world. In fact, the Bible says that the hearts of men are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. Fear is something that will break that relationship so you're not hearing his voice anymore. You're hearing the voice of fear and responding to that. And so many in Scripture have done that. King Saul was one that responded to the voice of the people and didn't obey the voice of God. That was what was charged against King Saul. Samuel said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken. The old King James has got a better word. Hearken means to listen with the full attention, with the implication that you want to obey it. And to hearken than the fat of rams. And what did Saul do? He listened to the people. He was afraid. And so he didn't do what God told him to do. And what did Samuel say? He said, the kingdom's going to be torn from you. We have been given the kingdom. We've been given the kingdom. But it's dependent on our relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's the king. Hallelujah. He says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Hallelujah. So, what I would say, and I'll just finish with this, is your relationship with the Lord is of utmost importance, and there are times when you've got to be still. You've got to get still before the Lord. Be still and know. You can't know until you're still that he is God. Be still and know. And we're living in an age where there's so much going on, so many, tangents, so many doctrines flying around, this is the answer to everything. So many. One thing's necessary, and that is that your relationship with him is concrete. Now, I love to say this, that so many talk about, don't get deceived, there's deception, great deception coming on the world in the last days, and if you don't know this about the Bible, you're going to get deceived. Baloney! It's who you know that keeps you from deception. Even the baby who knows nothing will never be deceived by another parent. They know their parents. So it's who you know that keeps you from deception. And so we need to be still and know. So I encourage you, cultivate that relationship. Find time just to be quiet before the Lord and say, I want to hear your voice. Above everything else, I want to hear your voice. You know what we do? We get quiet before the Lord and some emergency crops up. Sorry, Lord, I'll be back. I'll be back. And we never get to a place where we're actually still our soul. He leads me beside the what still waters. He makes me lay down. That means there's a waiting going. Lay down. Oh, I've got to get up, Lord. I've got to do something. No, he makes you lay down in green pastures. He, who is the Word of God, restores your soul. Amen. Can we stand up, please? If anyone would like prayer, I'd like to pray for you that his voice, particularly in the day that... Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that when you revealed your Son, Lord, that you spoke out of heaven and you said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The Word of God, the Word made flesh. Thank you, Lord, that we can recognize your voice. And Lord, you're not one that we're going to be afraid of and run from, but you're one that we're going to run to. And so my prayer is, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, find the time daily to sit before you, to do as little Samuel did. There's some here that God's calling you to learn how to minister to the Lord. Little Samuel didn't even know the Lord, but he was in the temple daily ministering to the Lord. And after a period of time, God revealed himself to him, spoke to him. Three times called out, Samuel, Samuel. And God wants to do that to you. And I tell you, there'll be such a confidence coming into your life, such a confidence of knowing and an expectation that he's going to speak to you more and more. There are many, the voice of the Lord to you is like it's gone dry. And you say, where are you, God? How come I can't hear you? But there are so many doubts, so many fears, so much agitation stirring up that you can't hear his voice anymore. And God wants to renew his voice in your heart today. He wants to renew it as you learn to just sit before him and minister to him. Spend that time ministering to him daily. because you're hungering and thirsting after him. Father, I pray that for each one of us today. And Lord, I thank you for your blessing upon our families. I thank you for your provision. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be witness for you in everything that we do. And Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.